This is Ozarks at Large. Pine Bluff resident Matthew Pate is the author of a new book titled Corporal Punishment Around the World. It's a text that provides an overview of those practices in various cultures and by various governments that inflict pain to curb misconduct. Malcolm Glover, with our content partner KUAR in Little Rock, recently talked with Matthew Pate about the book.
Pate was raised in Whitehall, Arkansas, and for about a decade, he's had a multifaceted law enforcement career, including a stint as a field agent for the Arkansas Crime Information Center. Pate starts the interview with details about the genesis of the book.
Well, actually, we kind of stumbled into it. My co-author and I, Lori Gould from Georgia Southern, met at a annual meeting of the American Society of Criminology. We began talking and decided that, well, we had a shared affinity for the work of the French social philosopher Michel Foucault. And as we continued to discuss things, it always came back to Foucault's seminal work, Discipline and Punish. And that work explores the transformation of punishment in pre-industrial Europe through the Industrial Revolution. Nations of the world today are relatively industrialized, at least certainly with regard to their position 200 or 300 years ago. Some nations still use corporal punishment as a sanction for criminal offenders, and some don't. And so that's really the question is, how do you get to that place as a society where these sort of vestigial apparatuses of justice still seem relevant?
It's very fascinating. What I like is how you're able to take such a broad topic and kind of track it not only through history, but all of its facets, because corporal punishment, whether we talk about it in the home, in education, in different communities, it's very different.
Very much so. And the moment that you start looking for broad general rules, you're immediately disappointed, because what you see is that there is a collection of effects that sort of ebb and flow throughout history that either support or retard the use of corporal punishment, not only in criminal justice, but across a whole variety of social venues, whether we're talking about it as an element of religious practice or religious bureaucracy, or we're talking about it as an element of education or discipline within the family and the home. A lot of different influences sort of shift in dominance or importance across cultures and across time.
Absolutely. And even in Arkansas, I mean, we still have schools, grade schools here in this state that still practice corporal punishment. I like how you talk about the techniques of punishment. And on page 30, there's this fascinating statement. It says, "The global history of corporal punishment has been an exercise in finding the tolerances of the human body." Things continue to change. And I guess people try to find a way to curb certain behavior or certain practices.
Oh, well, yes, and indeed, that's the fundamental nature of punishment, is exploring sort of two dimensions. What is sufficient to curb the undesired behavior, but is still within the tolerances of society, including the tolerances of the individual body? Just to address your point about corporal punishment in Arkansas, here we see a very strong connection between the Protestant Reformation and, I guess you could say, modalities of punishment. If you look throughout Renaissance Europe, the educators of Renaissance Europe are strongly influenced by the literature of antiquity that they rediscover. Be it Greek or Roman thought, the educators of the Renaissance embrace a much softer hand with regard to discipline in education. However, when you get to the Protestant Reformation, you see a whole cloth transformation into a much more strident paradigm of educational discipline. And so you see that kind of enduring influence throughout the South, that there is very much a biblically tempered and particularly a Protestant tempering of the ideas of discipline. And I don't think that we ever fully escape that. Of course, we're not alone. You can interchange Christian Protestantism with many other global religious traditions and come to similar ends.
As someone who's been interested in these sorts of topics academically, you've also had law enforcement experience. What, if anything, did you find fascinating or that you didn't expect from this research?
One of the things that I think that we can say, the police in our society have a unique competence in that they are granted an almost exclusive right to use non-negotiable coercive force in the completion of the tasks that society has assigned them. In other words, the police can make you do something that you might not otherwise wish to do. And physical compulsion is a common element of that. And so constituent to that is the whole question of acceptable force. And that plays right in to our notions about corporal punishment.
I think oftentimes when people want to debate the topic of corporal punishment or certain practices, we look at it only in terms of definitions and practices, but in many ways it's also about feelings, the thoughts we get when we see certain practices, or how we feel when certain things are done, or how we do not act or do not respond when we see things done to other people.
Well, I think there are some very clear policy implications that can flow out of this kind of research. In the book, I use the analogy of a pool table. And in many regards, you can think of punishment as a pool table. The balls are individuals in society. A ball is shot against a rail. The rail is like punishment that rebounds the individual back into the play of the collective. But the pockets, they're another position on the punishment switch. They remove the individual from the social play. Well, corporal punishment is interesting in that it provides another option. John Braithwaite coined the term reintegrative shaming. And corporal punishment can do that. The idea of don't be that guy. You know, you're being punished publicly so that you can be returned to the collective. Well, corporal punishment can serve another purpose. And we have described it as subjugative shaming. Corporal punishment can be used to reassert the social marginality of minority populations, and by that could be a racial and ethnic minority. It could be the peasantry. Any group that we might think of as the social other, corporal punishment can be used to reassert that difference. In looking at those places where corporal punishment persists, we can then start to examine the inequities in those societies and the full constellation of social arrangements and the distribution of power. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, is one group staking claim to the social, legal, moral, political authority to subjugate through punishment any other portion of the population.
Dr. Matthew Pate is the author of Corporal Punishment Around the World. He's currently writing a book for the University of Arkansas Press that will be a complete history of prisons in Arkansas. In Little Rock, I'm Malcolm Glover.
Thank you.